G'day punters, and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 8. I'm John Barker. Joining me is Daniel Nuttall. No Joel, I'm afraid, this week. Bit flat out right now. But Daniel, what a big weekend of racing this is. As I've written in Best Bets and Winning Post this week, this has been the weekend traditionally where the horse of the year has returned. Don't know if that's going to be the case this weekend, but that's happened 12 times this century that the horse of the year for Australia has resumed, many times in the Orr Stakes, but also once in the Rubiton, several times, of course, in the Apollo Stakes, in the case of Winx in Sydney, and Sunline even resumed 1 year in New Zealand. We've got the first Group 1 of 2020. We've got $2 million-plus races in Sydney. If we go ahead up there, we'll talk more about that later. But plenty to get excited about this weekend.
Yeah, certainly is. Eight group races on the card, or eight stakes races, rather, at Caulfield. If we go ahead in Sydney, those two English races, of course, Castle Vecchio won the first edition of the English Millennium last year, went on to place in a Cox Plate. Whether any of the horses in that field will reach those heights, I'm sure, but there is a warm favourite, Selza Beer, which we'll touch on, and deservedly so on the back of her first start win. But plenty to look forward to, and good card of racing as well on Eagle Farm. I hope they go ahead as well. Plenty of rain there, but we'll see what happens.
You're actually right the first time, because all these eight stakes races at Caulfield are group races, and we'll start there, and we'll start in race two, and there's going to be no doubt about Caulfield going ahead. Not a drop of rain forecast in Melbourne. Pretty amazing, isn't it? It's a very big country. No rain at all week in Melbourne, and it's just been Noah's flood further north. But we start in race two. It's the Kevin Hayes Stakes, three-year-old fillies, 1,200 metres, group three.
Look, she's done nothing wrong so far, How Romantic. She's my best of the day. I really like the look of her. Has that tactical speed, can sit up on the pace and control the races. She did at Moonee Valley up to the 1,200 metres last start. She was far too good for them. This is the toughest test she's faced so far, no doubt. But I'm really keen on her as her chance this week. I think she can go on with How Romantic. The 2-3 Aquitaine brings some Sydney form down with her. Pretty reasonable Sydney form. Won her first three races as preparation, and only ran into a pretty smart one in Splintex last start. The 7 in next, Satin Socks, has a pretty good finish on her, this horse, but was able to sit on the pace and sort of add another string to her bow last start at Canterbury. And the 6 in next, South Bank, a horse I've always had plenty of time for. Of course, Group 1 placed in the 1,000 guineas in the spring. 2-3-7-6.
I went for one here who needs to step up from a benchmark 64, but that was against older horses, and that's the unbeaten Frondeur, number 9, to beat your tip, How Romantic, Aquitaine, and Enfleurage, 9, 2, 3, and 4. First of the Blue Diamond preludes, and this one for the fillies is a Group 2. I won't go on about that as I always do. And it is over 1,100, and it's worth 200,000.
Yeah, I'm not dropping off Fresh, who was pretty keen on in the preview after that really smart debut win at Geelong, beaten Personal, of course, won at Flemington next start. She drew wide that day, Fresh, and just couldn't reel in a beautiful night, who sort of led the race and was able to win the second in a row. And they meet again here, but drawn one, Timmy Clark back on board, no doubt be on the pace, Fresh, and yeah, she's on top for me. The 4, the 2 in next, Montessera, terrific win back in the spring, well, back in November, last preparation at Rose Hill, destroyed a small field there, has jumped out quite well at Caulfield around Loving Gabby. The 5, Diamondesque, had the win. The start, Speller had the win at Moonee Valley and put away after that. Form out of that race, a little bit sceptical, but looked at all she had to do that night, and in for 4th over the 1, the beautiful night. Obviously won her past two starts. 4-2-5-1 for me.
Yeah, beautiful night for me. Obviously needs to step up to 1,100 metres, but just the fact that we revert now to the level weights as we move from the preview to the prelude, and that's obviously going to suit her. Would have been giving them weight had there been penalties involved, and very often the preview winner does go on and win the prelude as well. So with a beautiful night to beat, 2 Montessera, 3 Unstoppable, and 5 Diamondesque, 1, 2, 3, 5. Colts and Geldings is race 4, the Ned's Blue Diamond preview for the Colts and Geldings. And once again, well, this one's a group three for some reason, and over 1,100.
Yeah, tend to agree with the market of the race in two so far. Hanseatic, of course, the last start winner, deserved favourite here, winner of the preview there. And look, I'm with the seven Rulership, who probably I think is worth a better bet at the odds, about $4 thereabouts. Was just nursed around the home turn on the front at Randwick on his debut. Kicked clear and won in good time there. Drawn perfectly, I think, here in Barrier 7. And Hanseatic will have a few lengths on Hanseatic as they turn for home. So I think that will be the difference and worth, I think, a bet. The 7, the 1 in next Hanseatic, the reasons I've touched on. Valaquenta, the 9. I thought the backed in at Moonee Valley and won quite well, hitting the line strongly there. And in for 4th, I have the 11, Barbaric, who's also down to run around in Sydney. 7, 1, 9, 11.
Yeah, I went with the 1 Hanseatic. Just nothing, obviously, hasn't done anything wrong. And the form just keeps stacking up. Around him, Jabali Ridge, I put him for second at fairly big odds. And then I've got Tagaloa at even bigger odds, similar odds, resuming at for third, and Rulership, your tip for fourth, 1, 5, 6, 7. Race 5 is the 3-year odds, the Highland Race Colours Autumn Stakes, 1,400, group 2.
Microphone on top, I thought, against the older horse in the Australian Stakes, he held his own there. He's sort of back in the field, and I thought worked the line pretty well there. Up to the 1,400 metres, obviously the big tick. It's the distance he won his Group 1, the size produce back in the autumn last year. Back against his own age group here. Goes on top, microphone. In next, Adelaide Ace, a 6. A little bit untapped, this horse. Thought the first up win at Werribee was terrific. It was a benchmark 64, sat 3 wide on the speed with 16.5 kilos and powered away from him. Of course, has won up to 1,800 metres at Flemington. So it stays at 1,400 metres, might be some sort of query, might be looking for further, but I think he's certainly got the ability to measure up at this level. The 3 and next, Banquo, loved the win at Flemington during the spring carnival. Thought worked him okay at Flemington first up this time in. Improvement to come, and the 9 Legion of Merit resuming for the Freedman Sable. 1, 6, 3, 9.
Yeah, well, second 3-year-old racing. In both cases, I'm going for a horse that is stepping up from a benchmark 64 against older horses. That's Adelaide Ace, who you've touched on. Yes, staying at 1,400, slight query. And I guess the other query is Think I'm Dreaming, runner-up at Werribee. Got rolled on Wednesday. However, Adelaide Ace did take care of that field very easily at Werribee, so I'm sticking with Adelaide Ace to beat Microphone, Wedgetail, and Banquo, 6153. Race 6 at Caulfield on Saturday, Schweppes Rubiton Stakes, Group 2 over 1,100.
Good races, plenty of chances. I'm with the resuming Anaheed from the Snowden Yard, a filly I've always had plenty of time for. She had a terrific spring, of course, winning the Blue Sapphire on that Wednesday, and then stepping up to the Manicato and only finishing a length and a half of Loving Gabby there with the lightweight. She's trialled well in readiness for this. Timmy Clark on board will go forward and might take some catching, I think. The 10, 5 in next, Asia Chivalry. No doubt probably big looking forward for a little bit further, but he's got the class and first up record very good. He's he'll go forward and be stubborn as always. The 8 in next, Sartorial Splendor, at a bigger price, and 1 Admiral's Joker in for 4th. 10, 5, 8 and 1.
Yeah, I went for Admiral's Joker at odds. Look, one first up over this trip last prep. Admittedly, that was a benchmark 78, not a Group 2. Obviously, Admiral's Joker has bigger fish to fry over further this time in, probably hoping for a berth in the $5 million All-Star Mile. But, just thought could run away fresh here. From Age of Chivalry, Anaheed and Causeway Girl, 1, 5, 10 and 9. Race 7 at Caulfield on Saturday, the Super Gardens TS Carline Cup, 4 years old and up, 1,600, Group 3.
Not a terribly easy race, this one. Probably happy to let this one go through a keeper, I think. In terms of a Group 3, doesn't boast too much depth. And with the 10, Miss Siska, mainly the fact that her first up record is just... it's just terrific. She'll get over further. 1,600 metres is a suitable starting point for her. We're not much confidence. I'll go the 10 on top. Odeon in next, the 2, is racing well this campaign. Got the deserved win 2 starts back and then ran into another Golden Winner in Galaxy Raider last start. But look, we'll be thereabouts. Three and next, Duke of Valentino up to the 1600 metres, been crying out for it. Wouldn't shock in this, and the five and next, Guizzo. 10-2-3-5, but happy to sort of leave this one, I think.
Well, perhaps it'll be. Perhaps you should just wait and see what the market says about this race, because the favourite has won in each of the past 4 years. Miss Siska, I'm with you, with Miss Siska, who is among the favourites early. We've got Odeon marked as favourite, which for a horse that has won one of its last however many starts is a little bit. Optimistic, I would have thought, but I got Miss Siska to beat Guizzo, Odeon, and Duca Valentinois. 10, 5, 2, and 3. As of another thing that I've noted in the publications this week is that it's been a great day, or these features have been very good for favourites down the recent years, and last year on this day, five favourites successful on the nine race card. So something else probably to bear in mind, and there is a favourite. Well, there's a favourite in every race, I suppose, but there's a favourite in the big one, which is race 8, the Ned CF4 Stakes, 1400 metres, weight for age, group 1, worth $500,000, so bottom dollar pretty much for a group 1. The glory days of this, of the Cox Plate Caulfield Cup and Melbourne Cup winners resuming this race seem to be a little bit behind us, but we do have six individual Group 1 winners here. As I mentioned, there's a favourite, it's Scales of Justice, and that's your tip, Daniel.
Yeah, certainly is. Look, sort of had the favours first up at Moonee Valley in that Australia Stakes. A little bit dicey at the top of the straight there, whether the gap would appear for him, but he did, and once the gap did appear, the horse accelerated nicely and was too good for him. Of course, he is a Group 1 winner of the 1400 metres at Caulfield, won the Memsey in August last year. And yeah, he's just a terrific record. His second up record is outstanding, as is his first up record, third up record. He's a consistent type. And yeah, as I said, the rise to 1400 metres, he's going well at home, according to the trainer, Lindsay Smith. Probably short enough odds here in a race with plenty of classy gallopers, but happy to have the three on top. One of those gallopers I mentioned is the one Avilius. I've got in for second. 1400 metres isn't his pet trip by any means, but he did run a good race in the Wink Stakes over the trip when resuming last preparation. The four in next, Fierce Impact, a terrific spring, winning those two 1600 metres features. And the 10, Be Good to Your Mother. Forgive Run at Moonee Valley, sort of got interfered with by the following Manuel there. But certainly can bounce back. 3, 1, 4, and 10.
Yeah, I'm with Fierce Impact, as you mentioned. Great spring, only the three starts, and only the one defeat, which did come fresh, but it was second to Colding, so certainly nothing wrong with that. And then the two great 1600 metre wins. So with Fierce Impact, fresh to beat Scales of Justice. 2, Hey Doc, for third, and 10, Be Good to Your Mother, for fourth. 4, 3, 2, 10. Finally at Caulfield, race 9, Mudhouse Rosé, Belmain Stakes for the mares, 4 years old and up, a group 3 over 1200.
Look, News Girl's flying at the moment, and I'm a big fan of her. She's been able to win the past two starts at Caulfield, once over 1100, once over 1200 metres. She's had the right run in both of those. But, you know, she's always proven she races well around Caulfield. She was close at stakes level early on in her career. This track might have been a group three behind Crack the Code as a three-year-old. And look, she has to take the next step up here, but she's going well and drawn well again for Damien Lane. I can't fault her, and happy to take an each-way price about News Girl. The 9 in next, Sylvia's Mother. Very handy mare, resuming. Put in a very good preparation, I thought, last time out without much luck. Probably should have another win to her name there, and then ran a good race behind Pippi and Diamond Effort in August. The 6 in next, Bam's on Fire, had been frustrating early on the preparation, but was able to put it all together and won well last time out. She can go on with it. And the 4 in next, Fidelia. 8, 9, 6, 4 for me.
Yeah, I'm with the very smart Sylvia's Mother. As you mentioned, 3 start prep last time in, 1 very easy win, and 2 others arguably probably could have won both. So with her first up to beat Bams on Fire, Benatoit, and Enough Swagger. 9, 6, 2, 11. My best, which is probably, I'm not all that confident about it in hindsight, but I'm sticking with it. Race 3, number 1, A Beautiful Night. And my value bet was race 2, number 9, Frondeur.
My best.
Your best is up against my value.
Yeah, my value is News Girl, race 9, number 6, I think it is. And the best comes up in, How Romantic, the 2, race 2, just unbeaten so far. I think you can continue a picket fence.
Yep, News Girl is number 8. All right, so Warwick Farm is the venue, maybe, for Sydney racing on Saturday. There was talk after possibly shifting this to Rose Hill after we went to press, but it is listed as Warwick Farm as we speak. Might be Warwick Farm, might be Rose Hill, might simply not go ahead, but we certainly hope it does, because plenty of quality racing on the program. First of the black type is race 3, Aquis Eskimo Prince Stakes, 3-year-olds, 1200 metres, group 3.
And the one horse on the program will certainly be praying for all this rain would be Kiyomichi. Of course, she won a slipper on a heavy 8 and then was placed in a group the size Produce on a soft 7. There was concerns whether she's only a wet tracker, and the two runs in the spring, she really didn't deliver on the good tracks, did she? Albeit in good races, she's trialled outstanding. Her trial was outstanding to the front and bolted it on that, and just loves the wet. So Kiyomichi on top for me. Pandemic up to stakes level here, up to a group race for the first time. That first sub win was pretty awesome. Got a long way back. If you're on him, you weren't too sure how it was going to unfold, but Tommy Berry navigated a passage, and he was far too good for them fresh. He's won his only second upstart. In for third, Chenier. First go, Sydney Way, and the 8th Regimental Band, 1-3-5-8.
If you want to read about the Eskimo Prince story and his colourful owner, Purse Galea, Richo's got that covered in his column in Winning Post this week. Richo is back. I mean, you might not have noticed he was gone because his column went in. He left us with a two-part interview to run while he was away. But readers always look forward to Richo's What I Did on My Holidays column when he comes back. The answer is he did nothing on his holidays. So instead, he's telling us about a book he read on his holidays about Eskimo Prince. So it's a good read, though. So get stuck into that. Race 4 at Warwick Farm on Saturday, Dali Lonro Plate, 1,000 metres for the 2-year-olds at listed level.
With Barbaric on top, pretty expensive yearly, only had the one start in the spring, the Breeders' Plate, and did pull up with post-race issue. Hit the line okay there into 6th, but put up with the issue after that. Sent away for a spell, and I really liked the trial under no riding recently. on top, the 3, Barbaric. And second, I got the 2, Destination, who also had the one start before spelling. That was a win back at Kembla Grange. Did it easily there. Has since trialled well. The 1, Nitrous, been racing well without too much luck of late. I think a good race is in him for sure. And the 6, Ticket to Ride. Good late splits behind Rulership last start. This stays at 1,000 metres here. 3, 2, 1 and 6 for me.
The big one at Warwick Farm on Saturday, race 5, the Inglis Millennium for 2-year-olds, obviously restricted to those sold at, is it all Inglis sales or is it just one particular sale? I'm not sure, but anyway, it's restricted. It's all? Yeah, well, it's a good field. There's 14 to face the starter. It's 1,100 metres. It is worth $2 million. As you mentioned, there is a hot favourite in Selzabil, so talk us through it.
Yeah, and she won so impressively on the heavy track first up. She deserves to be favourite, no doubt. I can't take the $1.40 odds that have been better at the moment, although she did win by 6 lengths first up on the back of a really good trial. Look, she's on top, but I think there's some you can play around her maybe with exotics, or if you want a couple of small each-way nibbles. I've got the 1 Encounter Ball, who certainly a chance in this. A bit of a freshen up since running in the Inglis Nursery and second there to the Smart Wild Ruler. Really liked his debut run at Moonee Valley. That was on Cox Plate Day in that Inglis race, a 2-year-old race. Got bumped heavily on the turn. Still able to run on powerfully and only finished half a length off the winner, Ideas Man. And it was a bunch finish there. So I think Accountable's a horse, bullpoint colt going places. The 4 in Next Marnix. It was only Geelong Maiden, won on a wet track, but did it pretty easily. Won with a bitten hand there. The times of the day were pretty good relative to the rest of the meeting. And the second horse, Cloudbreaker, has since come out and won at the Provincials. And I think the 17, Tightropes, worth throwing into wider multiples as well. Should have finished much closer to Rulership on debut. Did a bit wrong in the run as well. 40-1 shot, I think there's... Worth a small each way play and throwing into those wider exotics. 9, 1, 4, 17.
And the other big money race at Warwick Farm on Saturday is the English Sprint for 3-year-olds, race 7, over 1,200 metres. And Joel Marshall has got an interview with Tony McAvoy in this week's Winning Post. He's keen on the chances of Xylong. Which way did you go here, Daniel?
I'm pretty keen on one in True Detective. He's a gelding I've always had plenty of time for. He races well on any sort of surface, good track, wet track. And I thought his return behind Pandemic last week was quite good. Sat back, couldn't match Pandemic zip, but was able to run home nicely. Hit the line well. The slight riser trip to the 1,200 metres will only help him. And yeah, pretty keen on this horse, the horse going forward, True Detective. I think he's pretty smart. So the 5 on top, my best of the day in Sydney, race 7-5. For second, I got 12, Rubisaki. Just done nothing wrong. His preparation, 2 very good wins. Of course, being that Flemington winner at Ulberg at Moonee Valley, and then went to Flemington up to the 1,400 metres and was too good there. She's building a very imposing record, the filly. 2 in next, Kubrick. First up here. It's good for first up form. And the 15 in next, Turnstile. Might be one over the odds. 5, 12, 2, 15.
All right, well, as you mentioned, True Detective, race 7, number 5, your best on the Warwick Farm program. Talk us through your value bet coming up at double figures, race 6, number 9, Think It Over.
Yeah, big fan of Think It Over. His first over 1,400 metres and settled real wood there, but was able to work home nicely. Only the winner had the fastest last late splits of the day. Up to 1,600 metres, the perfect next step for him. I think he's a likely race gelding, so you think gelding going places, and come over the odds here in this at double figure odds. Happy to take that. Race 6, number 9, Think It Over.
All right, racing on the Parks track, a good surface at Morfettville in Adelaide on Saturday. And your best comes up where it looks pretty bomb-proof. Race 6, number 1, Eagle Ridge, dropping in class. Mike Maroney sends over. Jerry Chow takes 3 off and in good form.
That's right. It's the only runner of the day at Morfettville is Eagle Ridge. And, yeah, Mike's just coming here for an easy kill. He's done nothing wrong in his 3 runs in Melbourne. His last 2 starts have been at Sandown at 400 metres, sat on the pace there. Was wide last start, it worked, but was still good enough to only finish within a length of the winner, the closer. A couple of horses here in good form, but yeah, I think Eagle Ridge claiming 3 might have a class edge on those. So race 6, number 1, the best. Kaishaka in the last, probably be my best of the program, but just wasn't sure whether she was going to run there or Moonee Valley on Friday night. I think she's a good chance at both. She's a progressive mare, making her way through the grades. The last 2 wins have shown a very good, neat turn of foot. And I think she's one that's going places. Race 9, Kaishaka. And in terms of a value, that's not much of a value. I think it's about $4.50. But St. Catarina has been racing in better races in Melbourne. Excuses last time at Sandown. Got a long way back in a race that was though suited to those close to the speed. But with the 55 kilos and inform Todd Pannell aboard, might be worth a bet. Race 5, number 8, St. Catarina.
All right. And Eagle Farm, as you mentioned, pretty wet up there as well. But a big 9 race card if they can go ahead, and you're starting us off with your value bet in the 4th.
Yeah, well, if any meeting's going to go ahead with all that wet weather, it'll be Eagle Farm, obviously. The drainage there is terrific. But hopefully I do. It's a very good card and plenty of value around, I thought. The best, though, comes up for me is race 5, number 5, Katie's Daughter. She's pretty short. She's $2.30. But love that winner, the Sunshine Coast. Started $1.20 favourite and won like one. She was the start prior in a high rating race at Magic Millions Day, which Yamasaki won from the tail. She sat on the speed from the wide draw and boxed on bravely to hold third. I think that's good form for this. As I said, she's since won easily. Since stays at 1,200 metres, and this is a race that doesn't boast a whole heap of depth. So race 5-5, Katie's Daughter should be the good thing of the day, I think. And the value comes up in the race before. Race 4, number 11, Play the Field. So that's form on that Magic Millions Day. It was 3rd to Hill Haunt Us and Hulk. I think those 2 had started about $1.60 in this field. Always thereabouts, just run on last start. Just was looking for that further, that longer trip. Gets it here up to the 1,600 metres. Wide gate won't be too much of a concern. He'll go back anyway. And I thought $11 worth an each way play for an informed Stuart Kendrick stable. Race 4, number 11, Play the Field.
Okay, they're racing at Pinjarra Park in WA on Saturday for Magic Millions 2-year-olds day. Magic Millions Day in WA. And the big one is worth $250,000. It's the Magic Millions WA 2-year-old Classic, BJ's Selection, race 7, number 1 there, Gemma's Son. It's a the 14 will face the starter, but Gemma's Son, so impressive in two starts, is going to start a fairly warm favourite. BJ's best for the day is race 3, number 6, Celebrity Queen. And his value bet is race 4, number 11, Overthought. Earlier in the day, across the Tasman, they are racing at Tarapa in Hamilton, as well as Riccarton in Christchurch. And there is a Group 1. It is the BCD Group Sprint, weight for age, 1,400 metres. This is the race that I alluded to earlier that Sunline resumed in her Horse of the Year year. And I guess if there's a horse going around anywhere on Saturday who might be the Australian Horse of the Year, it's Tiakau Shark, the Cox Plate place getter. If he really went on with the job in the autumn, he might get those honours. And indeed, Joel is tipping him to win that race. No, race 8, number 1, Tiakau Shark, from 6, Avantage, 7, Kiwi Ida, and 8, Volpe Veloce. Joel's best at Tarapa race, this comes up in the Waikato Guineas, a Group 2, and that is race 5, number 6, Travelling Light. His best in the last race, 9, number 7, Clever Conversation. At Riccarton, there are no black type races, but Joel likes race 7, number 7, Panzer, and that's his best. His value bet is race 5, number 8, Far Sight. That leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. All the form for Friday. Friday night, Saturday, massive day. Sunday, rapid racing at Flemington. 7 races down the straight. Big challenge for the two race callers, Rick McIntosh and Terry Bailey, with all horses wearing unfamiliar colours. Interested to see how it all goes. Hope they get a decent crowd there. I may well be in attendance myself. So we've got all that form. We've also got our usual dose of reading and entertainment, all for only $5.50 out first thing Friday morning. Best $20 bet for the weekend, Daniel.
I played it safe last week with Shoal, where it got back to $1.60 and did the job, but no, I don't like backing things that short. I'm going to go my best value bet at Eagle Farm. We'll go 10 each way on Play the Field, race 4, number 11, at about the $11 price.
I quite like Adelaide Ace, so I'm going for Adelaide Ace in the Autumn Stakes. That's race 5, number 6 at Caulfield. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.